Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Spencer. Hey, Joe. It's Jeff from CT.
Hey, Jeff from Connecticut.
Jeff?
What's happening?
I'm good. How are you? The Constitution State.
Yes.
That's true. I was just calling in to I actually haven't called in a while, but it's good to see that you guys are on the air again.
You know what, dude? It's good to be on the air again, and it's kind of like I had a lot of shit to do. And
I know you do. I'm sure you're a very busy guy.
And I thought to myself, you know, okay, we have to upgrade we're upgrading the studio, which we did. Sadly, the upgrade, some of it's good and some of it's not so great. I have to tweak it. But, you know, that took a lot of work. And I'm just like, these guys who are emailing us, it's just so funny to me. I appreciate the guys who genuinely miss the weekly show. But so many of the guys, I don't know if you caught the opening, who have complained about us week in and week out online about the fact that we're not talking about what they consider to be the cutting edge, you know, possible cures for hair loss. These are the guys who are bitching that the show's not on the air.
Yeah.
It's wild. Anyway,
this is not my topic that I'm bringing up, but there's like a 200 page thread on Bald Truth Talk about derma rolling. Yeah. I swear to God, I ripped hair out of my head with derma rolling.
Oh,
and
it's craziness.
Yeah, that's not what I'm here to talk about. But I don't know why they want to talk about that. I mean, I'm pretty sure it didn't work for me, but I don't get why so many people are glued to that. But yeah, it's like one of the largest threads on the forum.
Oh yeah, so it's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
If we
allowed the anti-masturbation stuff to continue.
Yeah.
That would be the hugest thread. I mean, there are some big threads there, you know, when it comes to that. But I mean, after a while, it became like, you know, Spanish. So it had to be controlled to some degree. But there are people who actually believe that if you control your, you know, masturbating, that you can regrow your head of hair, a full head of hair.
Yeah. I believe it or not, I tried it very early on, noticed zero effect. But
then made up for lost time.
What's the point of keeping your hair? You know, so what are you going to do? You're going to time your sex? Okay, I have my hair, but I can only have sex once a week or once a month. I get this hot chick.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was like, I remember back when I was 18, I read that theory, and I was like, you just start college when you're at 18. So, you know, so I read this theory and I was like, well, okay, then, you know, when I start meeting girls, I have to like ration, you know, and I started going through all these like ridiculous, like sort of like theories in my head. And obviously it's like ridiculous to consider those things. So, I mean, if you want to give it a shot, I mean, but don't turn down sex. It's really not worth it.
I think that whole idea was just made up by someone in a fraternity. To see if they could actually make the idea stick, and it stuck.
Let me tell you, man. There's no anyone who's writing about that. They're not turning down sex. They're just not having sex anymore.
They're just not able to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to pull everyone else into their personal hell.
Yeah.
What I was gonna bring up though, touching base on what the last caller said though. I don't know what category I'd fall in, but I started on the Teva brand finasteride. I think you get it through, I got mine initially through Walmart, I guess. And I started on that and actually went through a bit of shedding, in the vertex a little bit, where I've never really had any hair loss. Like the whole thing just sort of shed them and not really anything noticeable, but just thinned out a little bit. And, I went through 4 months of that because I was on ProScar. And then got the name brand stuff and didn't shed any more after that, really. It was like the shedding was a thing in the past. And then, and I started regrowing like little baby fine hairs along the hairline too. So that's just my experience too. So just wanted to throw in a little anecdotal thing there for him to hear if he's still listening. But
so your experience, I mean, see, Teva is actually one of the few really good, in my view, I'm not going to say one of the few, but it happens to be a really good drug company that makes great generics. So if I was going to go for any generic, whatever the drug is, I would like – I would prefer Teva brand, which is, I think is – it's actually is an Israeli company.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it won't work for anyone, but I do know that I did. Maybe it was just the timing too, that it was 5 months after and it just started kicking in, like the active ingredient just started kicking in. But once I switched to the brand, I started noticing it's like you'd have to use like a weed whacker to see the scalp on top of my head right now. But
But I love hearing stories like this. I think it's so important that guys understand the opportunity that they have or that they're missing out on based on a lot of the fear that's out there. And I think that's why Joe decided to do this latest video on the reality of propitious side effects, because you are a prime example. I'm a prime example. Look, I need a haircut. I was telling Joe I had to really like paste it together today because it's getting so long. But I am 51 years old. It doesn't matter if I have to paint. It doesn't matter if I choose to wear a hair system at some point in the back of my head. Whatever it is, I have enough hair in my head where I can kind of make it look like I have a full head of hair. And for me, because I started to lose my hair at 21, that is huge. It's monumental.
No, it absolutely is. I took the different route, though, and I didn't listen to the – Joe knows my story very well. I almost reached basically perfection, like just off of finasteride alone. I wasn't using minoxidil at all. I got back to maybe like a 1.5 on finasteride, and then I said, you know, I'm just going to go for the cherry on top, and I moved forward with the hair transplant I had scheduled anyway, and obviously didn't turn out so well, but that's not really what I'm calling about. Had I just stuck with it and probably just pulled the Spencer Coburn strategy and not move forward with a hair transplant and just stuck with the drug, I probably would be very fine right now.
Look, I was having a conversation with Ron Shapiro in Las Vegas, and we were talking about, I had a fresh haircut, so everything was looking really good, you know, I mean, super sprayed, tight, and we're talking, and he's looking at me, and he's asking me questions about my thoughts about the artist robot Dr. Devoir's new handheld device, and asking me what I would do as far as, you know, if I decided that hair transplant. And I was telling him what I would, you know, I would probably at this stage in the game, if I need a lot of hair to be moved because I wear my hair long in the back, I would most likely get a strip initially to see, you know, to get the most hair out. And I'm not concerned. I wouldn't be as concerned about the scar. Now, with that said, there's always a chance of nerve damage. There's always a chance of, you know, you're changing the structure of your scalp by having that done. So there's always possibility of complications. He actually looked at me, and I turned around, and he looked at the paint job, and he's like, you know what? I wouldn't even touch you.
Yeah.
You don't need a hair transplant. And this is –
He looked at your crown and everything too. I know that's like your area of concern.
Yeah, because like you said, it's – and this is what I say. It's too much of a risk. I'm able to camouflage it enough where I don't need perfection.
I've been telling you this anyway. It's like you're already comfortable with what you're doing, so why change it?
Well, listen, I am not 100% comfortable. I still – everyone's – when you're at a hair conference, you get the stares. But in regular life, no one ever looks at my hair. Yeah. So I'm comfortable with that. So I feel good enough, you know. And actually, you know, I go to this restaurant all the time, and there's a parking attendant at the valet that, like, he always comments on my hair because it's much more gray in person. And I guess for whatever reason, when they see a guy with what they consider to be a full head of silver hair, it's almost like an anomaly. And the guy always comments on it, you know, calls me the silver fox. He's a man. I get it. But I still take it as a compliment, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is, as obviously you know the moral of the story because you're just telling us. I kind of forgot your story. You could remind me if you want that you sought out perfection and maybe it did you more harm than good.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll tell you the 10-second elevator pitch of it, I guess, is I went to a very reputable clinic, was basically not sold, but I convinced myself of the idea that FUE was not what was basically going to be invisible, not scarless, but I figured nobody would ever see it.
Right.
I happen to have very thick caliber hair, but the density in the back is pretty low, so it was very easy to over-harvest accidentally a particular area. So now I sort of have my front is still very easily camouflaged, but I have one area in the back of my head that's pretty roasted, for lack of a better word. Sort of like I got one hole, like sort of gaping in the back of my head there.
It looks like in one area of the back of his scalp he has dupa.
And by the way, actually what's interesting about that is, and I know it's not interesting for you, but having really a great caliber hair, thicker hair, is obviously something that is very beneficial when you're having a hair transplant. But when you're removing it via FUE, what you don't realize is that thick caliber hair that is going to be removed is going to leave a, in my view, and from what I've seen, a more visible, deviation or a more visible defect than if the hair was finer. Do you know what I'm saying, Joe?
Yeah.
Correct.
And
correct.
That is very, very common, and it's something that's not talked about at all. So when someone is doing FUE on someone with very, a strong, thick caliber, robust hair like yours, in my view, they actually have to kind of separate the extractions or the scoring even more than they would with people with different types of caliber hair, if that makes sense. And I don't think a lot of people who are doing FUE and guys who are just getting into FUE don't really understand that.
This is one question I wanted to run by you just for your personal opinion. I'm not asking for doctor recommendations at all. Joe and I have actually talked about this, and he's sort of like set me at ease a little bit. What is your opinion about the viability of not body hair as a whole, but specifically beard hair to address this kind? I mean, not building out a hairline or anything like that. It's basically just using it to camouflage an area that still has scalp hair. But I just wanted to know what your opinion was.
I think it's hit or miss. I think that we know that when it's done correctly, beard hair is extremely viable. It's a great option for underground, in my view. It's a great option for guys who really need repair work in a hairline. And it can be a great option for what you're dealing with. But it could also be an abject failure, even in the best hands. Usually is not, but it can be. So there are really only a handful of guys that do facial hair transplants or facial hair extraction well on a regular basis. And again, in my view, you want someone who is probably doing that by hand, is not using a machine to make that happen.
Of course.
And there's only a handful of guys who I'm sure Joe discussed with you who might be capable of doing that. And you're probably going to have to travel.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to travel. I've been fortunate enough to have traveled already to see one of these doctors in person, and he's taking a very conservative approach. Should I move forward with this? This is actually goes back to what you guys were talking about very earlier in the program, when you said no doctor should offer like the guarantee. We guarantee, or we'll replace, and that's very true. You cannot replace. Hair, because if you could replace hair, I wouldn't have a hole in the back of my head,
right?
Obviously, so he obviously no guarantees. He's not saying that anything's going to grow, and in my particular case, he wants to take a very conservative approach and start off with something very small and observe if they grow, and if they don't, then we can sort of cut our losses there, and if they do, then we can go for something a little bit more aggressive, which is why I like this particular doctor.
Well, you know what? I think it's unfortunate that you have to be dealing with this. And, again, what you said speaks volumes, and I think is really important for people to hear is, you were doing well and you wanted perfection. You know, it's hair greed. And it's not something that I'm blaming you for. I get it. You know, you figure, wait a second, I could do this well. I see all these great hair transplants online. With a little bit more hair, I could be perfect again. I could be back to where I was before this nightmare began. That's what people want. But you know
and
what?
Part of the problem is that and you can't blame them, but part of the problem is that when clinics are talking about what they can do, they're selling the sizzle, not the steak. And, you know, they're always showing – and you can't blame them, but they're always showing the absolute best results possible for any situation. And I have to admit, you know, I was part of that. Like even my own case.
My
own repair case is one of the it's one of those cases where there has to be a disclaimer. Your repair case might not be – most likely won't be a similar type of recovery, because I did have the benefit of having and this is just blind luck. And I think I was explaining it to someone on the phone the other day. It's blind luck. I wound up with a doctor I wound up with that happened to be perfectly matched to my particular characteristics and my situation. So obviously it worked out fine. It wasn't perfect across the board. I did have to have a scar revision at one point because the back scar kind of widened a bit more than we wanted. But the revision worked and, you know, all that good stuff, and it helps to have worked in the clinic. But when people are looking online and Jeff, you're having to deal with this issue, is you match up perfectly with the video I put out about don't have a hair transplant unless you are ready to deal with the consequences of it not turning out. And
oh yeah, sure.
Look,
we've discussed that.
The biggest amount of shit I get in this business is the fact that I advocate doing nothing. Now, the world knows, because I was the first and really the only one to make it public initially, and then other people made it public, but they never talk about how much money they make. I let the world know that doctors who are part of the IHRS pay a screening fee. That's it. They pay to be a part of it. And they also have to understand that I'm not going to sell surgery. I'm not going to have online consultations. If you're just looking to be a part of what we do for leads, and if that's what you consider to be the only ROI of being accepted into what we consider to be a really elite group, then you're in the wrong fucking place. There are other avenues for you guys just to market yourselves. What we do and what we're trying to do with the IHRS and the Bald Truth, and I tell a lot of these doctors this, is while you may not see us selling surgery, we are guiding people in the best possible direction. And to be frank, you don't need to sell surgery. You are a prime example of that, Jeff. No surgery need to be sold to you.
Yeah.
You made that choice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I made that. No, listen, I don't even begrudge the clinic or anything like that. I remember, that's also why I also tell people, I interact on the forums sometimes, and I tell people, you know, make sure you speak to the doctor, not just the patient advisor, because the patient advisor's job is primarily to sell you surgery. That's what they're there for.
Yes.
Unless you get someone that really doesn't know what they're talking about. I know Joe was, for all intents and purposes, a patient advisor at one point, and I'm pretty sure he was a little bit more scrupulous in who he recommended move forward with surgery. Yeah, unfortunately, mine wasn't so much. But the doctor himself, when I finally met him and I traveled all the way to meet him, I still stand by that he's an ethical guy. And he said, you know, we could do this or we cannot do this. You're one of these on the fence patients, but I'm going to leave this up to you. And, you know, this was a year ago, a little over, actually a way over a year ago, but you know, I was a stupid 20 something kid. And, I had other doctors actually, this is a point I actually wanted to make. I had another reputable doctor really close to home actually that said, don't do this. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I didn't listen because I didn't want to listen. This was just not what I wanted to hear. So I just went and found a doctor that told me eventually what I wanted to hear. And that's not the best strategy in the world, to just find someone that tells you what you want to hear. That's, in fact, the worst strategy in the world. Sometimes if a really reputable doctor says, you're not a candidate for this, you have to know when to walk away. And it's not like it would have been like crippling to me if I walked away. I still would have had a full head of hair. It just wouldn't have been, you know, the Brad Pitt hairline. I just think that not a lot of young guys realize that. Because I certainly didn't, and I read it and I heard it over and over again, but I just didn't want to listen.
Well, and you know what? Who wants to listen to something like that? Who doesn't want to be told what they want to hear? That's just the way that it is, and these guys depend on this. You know, I'm more involved in mainstream cosmetic surgery, and the stories that I hear are fucking frightening. And what is being done to people, if you think hair is bad, like, I am trying to figure out a way to get involved with, you know, and feel good about myself.
that's the challenge,
and that's the challenge. You know, I have all these opportunities. You know, we put out pilot shows, and right away, large medical device companies contacted me, ready and willing and able to sponsor whatever I decide to do. So not like not saying there's anything wrong with Patreon, because people make a lot of money with Patreon, but I'm talking about right away. On there, all they saw was stuff on Facebook, and they were willing to give me what I wanted for a monthly sponsorship. And I had to step back and think, holy shit. I mean, if it's this easy, then, you know, I have to kind of look into myself and say, if I start to take these people's money, then I'm going to basically have to play by their rules. So say, for instance, just putting it out there, I'm not saying they did or they didn't, but say CoolSculpting, which is a device that works for some people, doesn't work so great for others. There's a lot of, you know, questionable stuff out there happening, at least according to some plastic surgeons who are utilizing this piece of equipment. Say they came to me and I'm like, well, you know what, everyone's promoting CoolSculpting, but I know that maybe this particular type of procedure is only good for 40% of the population who are looking for that type of weight loss. I wouldn't be able to say that because I'm taking their money.
Yeah.
So I'm put into a very unique position. That's why I love the way we were able to run this program. And that's why when I talk about, you know, the IHRS and I tell these doctors, look, you're supporting the truth. That's your ROI. Period. You give people the opportunity to learn about something that, you know, you're supposed to specialize in, and you guys are supposed to, you know, want to help people. It's not just about leads. And you know what?
Yep.
These guys get it. And that's why they've been with me, most of them, for, you know, 15 years. Even though I'll sit here with Joe and say, don't have surgery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's marketing through the truth.
You know, it definitely speaks volumes to the people that are on the list, because most of them, I'd assume, at least the ones that I've interacted with that are on the list, have, you know, had no problem telling me that this is not a good idea. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm glad we're able to do that, and I'm glad that most of these guys are. Listen, there are people who are on the list, quote unquote, who, you know, they may have some sort of financial pressures that month. And they may have made decisions that they regretted in the past. It's just the way that it is. It's human nature. But my job and Joe's job is just to let people know, no matter who it is, that shit could happen.
And it does.
And it does. All of the best doctors out there fuck people up every year.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. So, all right, man. Always a pleasure. Guys. These guys are holding on. They hung up. Guys, call back. I'll take your call. 888-659-3727. Jeff, man, thanks so much for the call, and I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, pleasure talking with you.
All right, you got it, man. Take care.
Take care, Jeff.